Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time for our weekly visit with the professor, John Clayton. At this time next week, we will know the Steelers' 2019 first-round pick, provided they keep the pick, but they've always kept the pick. They haven't traded out of the first round, I think, since the Bill Austin era. Now, John, you've been around a long time. You did not cover the Bill Austin Steelers, am I right?
No. Okay. Hey, I'm old, but I'm not that old.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Yeah. Chris said off the air, does John know Bill Austin? I said no, Chris.
I knew growing up how bad it was because, that was when in my early days when it was like I would follow the team, but they weren't very good.
No, they were not.
Oh, my dad tells me stories of like Ernie Stotner, and my dad's big thing is people should recognize how much better he was than he got credit for, even though he's one of their only retired numbers, because those teams were absolute vomit back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they kind of fit Pittsburgh in the sense that it had good defense. I mean, that kind of played to it, but the offense was terrible. The chances of winning weren't very good, and it's like, okay, well, here comes another day, and all of a sudden, here comes Chuck Knoll, and everything changed.
John, where do you think they go with the 20th pick?
So much of it depends because, I mean, I think the guy from CBS Sports is kind of like on the same page as I am, because I had them going for Devin Bush for at least two of my four mock drafts, but now I have Devin Bush going to Cincinnati. So now the next option, I think, is going to be taking a cornerback. And so I have Greedy Williams going to Atlanta at 14. And so I went with Byron Murphy over DeAndre Baker because I actually have Baker going to I have Baker going to the Oakland Raiders at 24. So I think it the next move would be a quarterback. I'm not sold on the idea of a tight end, although, again, I think he's, right now probably the 18th to 21st player in this draft, but I think they're okay at tight end with Vance McDonald.
John, this is sort of in the same vein as what Andrew asked, but a little bit more about the moving and shaking. Do you think it's more likely the following three scenarios? What's the most likely? They pick earlier than the 20th pick at 20 or later in the first round than 20. Do you think there's a good chance they're trading one way or the other?
No, I think they're staying. I mean, they're not a team that really prefers trading up. I know they did it with Troy Polamalu, but I don't see that happening this year. This is too good of a draft to necessarily come up and make it a move like that. So I think in the end what they'll do is just sit there and draft because, again, if they can't get the inside linebacker that they like, they're definitely going to be able to get a cornerback. And if you trade down, then you're going to be out of the cornerback range. Because, like, for example, one of the teams I have looking at a cornerback is the Philadelphia Eagles. And if the Eagles can't, they'll be out of it and have to go a different direction. They may even have to consider trading up. That could be a possibility. But, no, I think in the end it's going to be just stay there and draft.
John, why is a guy in this? He's sort of on the Steelers' radar. If you look at some of these mock drafts and projections, I saw Yahoo Sports did a live mock draft last night, and they had this player, DK Metcalf, going to the Steelers at 20. This individual, Metcalf, is such a physical freak. Why is he somebody that has fallen to spots like the Steelers at 20 on draft boards? It looks like he has the measurables of a Calvin Johnson. So what are you hearing on that player?
Well, honestly, I mean, if you look at the wide receivers, they're more second round than first round. There's a chance that no wide receiver goes in the first round. And even though DK on some boards might be the first guy, I still look at the fact that, he is not very productive in college. He missed 15 games. He caught very few passes. I mean, yes, he is an ultimate deep threat. I mean, you're talking somebody that's 6'3", 233. I mean, run a 4.33, 40. Bench press 27, bench press like an offensive lineman. But if you put him in short routes, I mean, you watch him in the short shuttle at the combine, and it was pretty bad. So that, I think, is the big holdup in his case.
Well, he needs like a turn signal to actually move around on the field and make a cut.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, again, I mean, you're talking about a very talented wide receiver. But, again, most of these wide receivers in this year's draft are more not plug-and-play guys. They're more guys that you have to kind of maybe, you know, give them a year or two to kind of get into it and then do it. And so I honestly struggle with that probably more than any other position to see if indeed one goes in the first round. So I don't think it's a matter that he's falling. It's just that, you know, his track record in college. I mean, I think there's a stat there that if he comes and becomes a first round pick, he would be a first round pick with the fewest number of catches for the number of games that he's played.
Wow. John, what kind of an impact might the Russell Wilson contract have on Ben Roethlisberger's ongoing negotiations, if you had to guess?
I don't think it has any, to be honest, because, again, what you're talking about is, you know, a quarterback at the age of 30 entering his third deal versus a quarterback, you know, who's now past 35, 36. And so, you know, the impact is going to be more Phillip Rivers. If they do anything with Eli Manning, you know, any kind of contract extension with Drew Brees. So it's a different category. And so, you know, Ben's not going to be able to top that because of his age. And nor, you know, I'm sure that he won't ask to try to top it. I think he can get a fair deal between $25 and $30 million a year. But that's where I think it's going
to
go.
We're talking to John Clayton on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by Armstrong Business. What stood out to you about the Steelers' schedule?
I think it's not as bad as it is, again, against with the division the way it is, that, you know, they've got still a decent chance because, again, you know, Cincinnati's still uncertain. Thought it was interesting I'll be able to see you in week two when coming in with the Seahawks and the way they play. But, you know, it didn't stand out as being anything exceptional. I mean, they didn't get a three-game road trip. Philadelphia was the only team that was able to get that. You know, they get the benefit of most of the West Coast games being in the early slot, which is, I think, an advantage because, you know, when you come from the West Coast, there's very few teams that have winning records when they come from the West Coast and get that 10 a.m. start. So I thought that was good. You know, and overall, I mean, some of the schedules were penalizing. You know, I think the one thing that kind of looks weird is the fact that too many road games at the end. I mean, from November 14th, they have five road games? That's not the normal way you finish it. And so that, I think, is a little bit different, but not penalizing. But I think it's a fair schedule.
One of the things that I don't like is that first Browns matchup we think is going to be a very anticipated one, based on the hype and the expectations for Cleveland this year. And the Steelers play the Rams, a Sunday afternoon game at 4:25 on November 10th. Then they have to turn around on a short week and go to Cleveland on a Thursday for that first matchup against the Browns. John, the numbers for road teams on Thursday night football are terrible. They usually lose, and actually they typically get blown out. And I think Thursday night football is big enough now where you don't need these division matchups to sell people on watching these games. So I think that's a competitive disadvantage to have to play a physical team like the Rams and then turn around and go to Cleveland on a Thursday. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, again, it's not as bad as, say, some other teams because, again, it's not like it's a big, long plane flight because it's just over to Cleveland and back. So that's not too bad. But, no, I agree with you. But it's not a matter that they did that for the hype. You know, I think what they had that pattern and have had it for many years that they would almost rather have a division game with the 3-day break before the game just because it's easier to prepare. It's like it's not as if, you know, there's going to be a lot of mental preparation extra. I mean, it's not like you're taking on a new team that they haven't played in 6 years. It's one that you play every year, two times a year. So it makes it a little easier on the prep. But, no, I agree. It's like this is a big game, and it does give the Browns an advantage in this one.
John, how much of a boon is it? Because I happen to think it's pretty significant for them, the Steelers, midway through the season roughly, to have a 32-day stretch where they do not have to leave Pittsburgh, a bye week and then three straight home games. That, to me, feels like it could be a major plus for them.
Oh, no question. I mean, that's because, again, particularly when you're trying to pace yourself through the season and, you know, you get a kind of a right-in-the-middle type of bye week. No, I think that could be a big break. Now, again, the penalty comes at the end of the year with all the road games. But, you know, let's put it this way. It's not as bad as, say, the Oakland Raiders because, what, Oakland has a home game in week two on the 15th of September and don't get another home game until November. And that's – how bad is that? They have a trip over to London. Tampa Bay has a long stretch where they don't have a home game. But I think, you know, anytime you have a chance to kind of settle in and get into some routine at home, I think it's a big advantage. I've tracked that now for the last couple of years, and that is a big advantage.
Will the scouts that Oakland threw out today, will they be back in Oakland by the time they actually play that next home game after week two? What do you make of that story?
Well, I mean, you can see what happened is that, you know, Reggie McKenzie probably hired a lot of these people. Now, what you wonder about is like, hey, how many guys did John Gruden bring in that aren't going to be back? Because that's not going good because you're just turning over bodies. But I think what you can see is that John just doesn't trust these guys. I mean, he's worried that they're going to leak out the board. He's not going to let them see the board. So it's like, hey, take the Easter week and then, you know, grab a few eggs and then get your bags packed because you're not going to be back. I mean, there's going to be significant change in that office, and I think that's now pretty evident.
John, I promised my wife I'd ask you this question. She went to West Virginia. She wants to know where Will Grier is going to get picked.
You know, what I wonder is that if they don't trade for Josh Rosen, I mean, he could be a candidate to go to the New England Patriots. I mean, that could be a possibility.
At the end of the first round?
No, not at all. Second round, third round.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not going to go in the first round. I mean, you know, maybe a chance to go into second, maybe more likely to go into third. A lot of it depends on if the Patriots have to trade up for the guy that you mentioned, Noah Fant, you know, because, you know, they might have to trade up to 20 or 21 or something like that. Obviously not going to get to 20 because I don't think Pittsburgh needs to move back all of the 32.
Right.
But, you know, I think that Seattle certainly is going to be listening because they want to try to move back at 21. But I mean, he's going to be, you know, middle to lower part of the second round or early third.
Are you convinced that Murray's the first pick?
Yeah, I am. And now there's starting to be some speculation that maybe that might not happen. And
so then where's Rosen end up?
Probably the Chargers. Now, here's the interesting thing is that the thing I got to check out over the weekend, because this is kind of like a 24-hour development, is that the guy that the Giants like is Daniel Jones at 17. Okay, now Montez Sweat's got some concerns because of a heart condition, and I thought they were going to take Montez Sweat at 6. Now there seems to be a renewed idea that maybe they'll consider taking a quarterback at 6, and I don't know if they would take Dwayne Haskins at that spot. I heard from really about the last month and a half that wasn't going to be the case, but things are kind of changing there. But let's say they don't take a quarterback in the first round, then they decided apparently in the last 24 hours they don't want to trade a second-round pick, which would have been natural, to get Rosen because they didn't know how his personality would fit in New York, and so they would be willing to do a third-round pick. And so, you know, they've got the higher of the picks among the Patriots and the Chargers and the and a couple of the other teams that might be interested, like Washington. So I think right now, I mean, he'll be out of there, but figuring out the team, I think the Giants still have the higher choice. It's just a matter, do they get the quarterback they want in Daniel Jones, or do they have to take a quarterback at number 6?
John, two quick things. One, I want to let you call your shot right now since we won't be able to talk to you before that first-round pick is made. Who will the Steelers be celebrating as their first-rounder?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Byron Murphy. Because, again, just seeing how the quarterbacks fall, because I think Greedy Williams is going to go to Atlanta. But, you know, Baker, of course, would still be there. But I think they would take Murphy. He's a good cornerback. He really is. And I know from watching him at the University of Washington.
This is my other question. In terms of just, you know, your job as a reporter, as a guy who's, you know, making calls, getting info. Do you like the draft run-up like this, all the intrigue more, or do you like covering the actual games more? What is more enjoyable from your perspective?
Now, I enjoy the whole thing. I enjoy the games. I enjoy the mystery of free agency. I enjoy the drama and trying to sort through the liar's poker that usually goes on in the preparation of the draft, all of the above. Because, you know, I'm a transaction guy. And, of course, when you're talking about transactions, I know these are slotted moves and stuff like that. You know, to get the chance to kind of follow, okay, what guy's going to go here, what guy's going to go there, and then constantly try to figure it out. I like it all, but I certainly love the draft.
All right. There you have it, Chris. Hope that answered your question. John, we'll talk to you Friday about that Steelers first pick, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
There you go, John Clayton.
He likes the draft more, I'm convinced. He's a Would you ever describe yourself as a transactions guy? Casino transactions, perhaps?
I cash tickets constantly. That's me.
Craig Riley has to have cashed a higher volume of tickets than anybody, but Craig's making those like little chip-away bets. He's like Andy Dufresne tunneling through the rock in Shawshank.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.